Welcome to the Flawed Podcast, where we get to know different people's focused lifestyles and their winning disciplines. And now, your host, the one and only Peter Larson.
Thank you very much. Welcome to episode 57 of the Flawed Podcast. In this episode, we meet Francesco Samarelli. He is a language expert speaking 8 languages. He is a YouTuber and an aspiring author. But in this episode, we are discussing what Francesco calls the most important language, love, and more specific, self-love. We learn why it's important to love ourselves. We talk a lot about compassion and gratitude. We are also discussing and hearing Francesco's experience being coached by me for 90 days. He lost 14 kilos and he is feeling super healthy when we're recording this. When this episode goes live, we have been going on for 120 days, which was Francesco's commitment to me when we started. We also used the app coach.me, which we talked about in episode 19, where we met Tony Stubblebine, the creator of that app and the founder of that company. We also discuss productivity strategies like don't break the chain, mental strategies. To be more specific, we use 8 of them. We talk about the pause, the importance of breathing, and much more. I hope you will enjoy this episode with Francesco Samarelli. Self-love. Enjoy. If somebody meets you, what do you tell them? What do you do?
What do? I live every second with passion, but what I do for hobbies is something that always challenges me, whether it's learning a new language or pushing myself to the limit. But as far as work and how I get paid to live, I'm an international flight attendant. Mm-hmm. I am an interpreter on board the aircraft for in-flight services and basically travel, speak a few languages, and try to please people as much as I can as a flight attendant, but that's how I get paid. On my days off, I am a volunteer. So 9 days I work and 21 days I'm invested in not only self-improvement, but how I can share everything that I've learned, whether through podcasts or YouTube or Facebook or volunteering. Everything is revolved around sharing the knowledge, sharing the wealth.
So, I mean, how did you start your journey with the languages? Where are you from?
I was born and raised in New Jersey, in America.
Okay.
City's called Jersey City, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. They joke around saying that Jersey City is the 6th borough because New York has 5 boroughs and Jersey City is so close to Manhattan and to Bronx and the Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. They say it's the 6th borough. My family's from southern Italy. And they came right before I was born. So you are right that my first language isn't English. English is actually, you would say, even my third language because I learned Neapolitan Italian. It's the other language of Italy. Then Spanish because I went to a Spanish or a Cuban daycare center. And I was babysat by many Latinas who spoke Spanish. And then when I finally was 5, I went to kindergarten. And in kindergarten, I was forced to speak English. And many times, actually, the teacher would have to speak to my mom because I wasn't at the fluency that the kindergarten wanted me to be. Mm. Because if they wouldn't understand that I wanted milk, I kept saying it in Italian and in Spanish. But I'm American and Italian.
Okay.
Both.
I see. So Jersey, isn't that where Bruce Springsteen is from?
Yeah, he is actually.
Okay, yeah, awesome. Because I'm reading his biography right now, so I think he's talking about some other boroughs there. I'm not really familiar, but I mean, he's a legend. So
awesome.
Now we get like a flavor for that you speak several languages. But where are you based right now? Where do you live?
I live in Göttingen. Göttingen is about 4 hours from Frankfurt, 4 hours from Berlin, 4 hours from Hamburg. It's in the middle of Germany. It's not smack in the middle, but it's pretty much in the middle of Germany.
Okay. So how many languages do you speak today?
I say I speak at a really comfortable level, 8 languages.
That's amazing, man. So was it the French that you're studying right now?
I am studying French for a big test for my company. Mm-hmm. It will be possibly the last language I qualify in for my company. I'm going to start learning the most important language I believe in the world, which is love for yourself, the language of self-love, self-knowledge, empathy. And I spread these videos and motivational speeches in New York and in Europe regarding how to learn another language through empathy. But I really have to start using self-empathy will lead to having more empathy for others.
Yeah.
So
that's profound, I think, extremely deep. But tell us, and me, of course, how you started the journey of self-love and what you learned so far on your journey. Because this is a journey, I think, that is so important for everyone, because it is, as you know, as I guess you say every day in your job, you know, put your mask on first. So you can translate that to, you know, love yourself first before you can love someone else.
I mean, that's actually one of those poignant moments when I first heard that, like, please put your oxygen on mask first before helping others. And there's a little child in the picture.
Exactly.
When I heard that quote years ago, it really hit me hard, because I can understand that from the perspective of, you can't give what you don't have. In America, many people say, like, you can't give what you don't got. If you don't have food, you can't give food. If you don't have love for yourself, you can't give love to others. And about 4 years ago, when I was told by my fiance that I need to really look myself in the mirror and get help for the inner demons in my heart and my mind, at the time, I need to speak to someone. So I went to a therapist, and she was so patient and calm. And she asked me, Peter, she asked me straight up, do you love yourself? And I'm like, yeah, of course I love myself. Well, what kind of question is that? Yeah, I mean, yeah. And she goes, do you know a lot of people say what you're just saying, but they actually don't believe it? I go, no, I believe it. And she goes, well, think about it. Let that simmer. And we'll carry on with the conversation regarding other topics, childhood. And that always sat with me. And one day I realized, if I loved myself, I would be eating healthier. If I loved myself, I would be working my body out for myself. If I loved myself, I'll be researching and doing what I want to do in life. If I loved myself, I would be the best version of me to my capability every single day, every single second. And it made me start asking why for everything. Why am I drinking this water? Why am I speaking to Peter? Why am I in Facebook right now? And I started to ask myself, and if it wasn't helping me in the sense of making me a better individual so I could be a better role model for my niece and my nephew, I stopped doing it. Or I started doing something that helped me. Because I realized that as a child, I absorbed every single thing that I was seeing, which was people who weren't loving themselves. And that was my role model. And then I said, hold on, my niece and my nephew are watching this. They might be watching this YouTube video right now. They might be listening to this podcast. How is this going to affect them? And then everything clicked. I the foundation of everything, anyone who's productive or strong or happy, is self-love. And once you have a good foundation of self-love, self-empathy, self-compassion, then, only then, can you start building a routine to be stronger or healthier or more knowledgeable. And that's basically the beginning 4 years ago. Sarah.
This is such a good question. So, I mean, I think so many people, including myself, you know, because I read this recently. I think the book will pop up later. But, you know, because you and I know how many thoughts, I think it's 90,000 thoughts per day or something like this. And many of those thoughts in my brain, you know, they aren't really productive. They aren't good. They're filled of, you know, not love. They're filled of bad stuff. I don't act on it usually. But, you know, I know everything that goes on in there. Therefore, you know, I judge myself much harder, usually, and this is what most people do, I think, as well. I judge myself on all this, you know, the 90,000 thoughts, because I'm not, why did I think that? Why did I, that's just weird, you know. So I think that's a piece of the puzzle, why it's so hard, because I can see all the thoughts and hear them, and, you know, some of them are really bad, you know. In my brain. But what steps did you take that you think will be a benefit of for the listeners and the watchers to start this journey? You know, what practical? Did you start a journal? Did you what habits and tips and tricks have you done so far that's working for you?
I have a few, but the one that I believe helped me the most is nurturing myself. In the sense of my inner child, and I have an image of a five-year-old that would go and say, hey, it'd be me as a 34-year-old talking to a five-year-old me and saying, hey, everything's going to be all right. Now, this is an example that I would use for a very serious moment of doubt or fear or jealousy or hate or anger. These are the ones that I would use for that. But when it comes to random awkward negative thoughts while you're riding your bike, like, well, what if I get hit by this car? Or would anyone care? No. Then I would just go into the quick fix, which is like, oh, you're just a thought. So I wouldn't give it power, but I wouldn't also hate it. So it's a very simple quote, but it's like, oh, you're just a thought.
Yeah.
That's the quick fix. That's when I'm not deep in the emotional state. Now, those, they both work, but then there's times that they don't. And I have to literally just go in a cold shower and stay there and then feel the cold. And that helps me a lot too. Affirmations, as everyone probably have heard of many times, helped me as well. Mm-hmm. Having a mantra, I deserve to be here. I'm good enough. These help, but they don't come in the clutch. So instead of just thinking them, I have to sometimes write it down, and not only write it down, but maybe even separate a list of reality and what is really going on. Yeah. So reality is one side, and the other one is like, well, this is what you think is helping,
exactly.
You know, screaming at this person or fighting this person, but what is the better option? And basically taking breaks between people. I've never liked awkward moments as far as pauses. So right now, if I'm speaking to you and I just start, it's awkward. It's an awkward pause, and I always thought of it as the worst, weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But I've been using that. I've been using that to my advantage because, okay, this is a really awkward moment. You just cut the line in front of me. I'm angry. I don't like when people cut the line in front of me. I'm gonna take that pause. Excuse me, I'm sorry, but you may have not realized, but I've been here before you. Mm. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was lost in my thoughts.
Mm.
Who knows? Maybe they have something really deep in their thoughts and they didn't realize they cut the line. So pausing has helped me a lot. it may sound awkward, but in the middle of, let's say, an argument with a loved one, I would literally just say, I have to take a walk. And instead of walking, I would run. And that would just get my body in a different state. Because my true belief is that we get into a state, let's say we're angry or we're hating our lives or hating ourselves. And then that state just gets elongated, Peter, into maybe a mood that lasts maybe like 3 days, 4 days. And then that mood turns into something a little longer, like a bad month, a bad week, a bad season. And then that 3 months bad turns year. Into a year. Yeah, a bad year. Mm. And now that one little state turned into a personality. So I'm like, well, I realized that these states, whether positive or negative, can turn into something. Mm. And I'm like, well, I'm in control of it. Mind over matter. How can I do this? How can I break it down, deconstruct it, and figure out what to do? So those are a couple of things that I've realized along the years. And with the grace and the help of people like you, my therapist, friends, books, mentors, I wouldn't be where I am without humans helping me. I wouldn't speak the languages I speak without humans helping me. And I am myself, of course, through all the hard work that you and I both know takes to be where we are. Mm. But it's only because there were people lifting me up. And I will always, in my 5-minute journal that I write in the morning and the night, and the gratitude list I share with my fiance every night, I have to always thank human beings that have been there for me. And my hope is that I could always be there for them through volunteering or spreading some positivity in their day.
Solid answer. I mean, I think you mentioned so many great things here. The book came to me. It's called The 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson, from what I referred to earlier. But you mentioned cold showers and what we call a state. You know, someone puts you in a state. Something happens, an event. And then you are implementing the mental strategy of the pause, which is an awesome thing. I think I try to implement this as well, you know, because if you're in a aroused state or an emotional state, you're not thinking perhaps clear. It's a bit stoic philosophy, you know. If you take that pause and, okay, did I misunderstood? Am I having a bad day? How are my energy levels? Is that person, you know, in a life crisis? Maybe that person, you know, has something. And you also added, you know, the gratitude part in your journal there. I think that is, you know, huge. Just to twist it, instead of being angry, you know, I can be grateful that I'm alive. You know, what's the chance of even being alive? You know, that's, you know, when you are created, it's, you know, one in, I don't know, 10 million, something like this. That's one in 10 million. And then, you know, to be born at this time of where humanity is with all the technology, you know, it's crazy amazing. It's never been this good for so many people. You know, we live like kings. Kings lived like us 100 years ago. It's fantastic. So I really like this. So what would you say the pause would be a takeaway for the listeners, right? To just stop.
The pause, and if that's not easy enough, maybe counting, I count to 10 or count to 100. But also, and this may seem, this is when you're, because I feel that many people always try to blame things on others. Yeah. And they say, it's you put me in this bad mood. It's like, no, you have control. So I'll give you a real life example that happened yesterday.
Please,
the fiance and I went to go to the bus station because I wanted to know where to take my bus from here to Frankfurt. And while we're at the bus station, I said, excuse me, to the gentleman. I said, can you help me? He said, sure. I said, I'd like to know where I could get my bus here tomorrow. I'm new in town. I don't know where the bus will come to pick me up to take me to Frankfurt. He said, it'll be right here. I said, perfect. Thank you. He goes, if you need more information, let me write down this number. He goes, I'm going to give it to her, though. All right? Don't be mad. I just want to give it to her. And he goes, this is my personal cell phone. And he gave her the number. He goes, call me whenever you want. And he goes, but don't be mad. It's not a bit, you know, don't be mad at me. He looked at me, he gave me a wink. And it was a very, very awkward moment.
That's weird.
Wait, check
weird.
This out.
That's now, really weird, man. Okay.
If anyone's listening and knows where you know I'm from, Jersey City and this whole, not the whole Jersey City, but many people are from, we become reactive, especially Italian who has this, you know, machismo in them. I don't have that in me, but it I guess it was part of the seeds that we dropped when I was born, and I had a little bit, this guy's serious? He's giving his number, winking at me, and saying, this is my personal number. Now, this moment was weird.
Yeah,
and I told myself, I have two options. I could smack him, or I can say to myself, he must have something going on. And I'm not going to feed into what's going on with him, whether it's truly deeply psychological issues or something that is just something he's trying to feed his ego, trying to be cool. Now, my mind, I took the paper because he tried to give it to her, and I said, thank you, and I wish you a good evening. And I didn't feed into it. So what I basically tell myself is when these moments happen, I go, something is wrong. Something is not right because you don't do that. And we both laughed about it later, and it helped me a lot to just say, this isn't really lining up with what I believe in this reality is normal, and I'm not going to feed into it. So it's I hate to say it, but it's just sometimes just think, damn, I wish you didn't do that, but I'm not going to feed into you, and too bad that you're thinking that way. And then we had a great bike ride back home.
That's just weird, but I think highlighted something here that, you know, It's in our courses, as the Swedish listeners, we use the example of a guy called Viktor Frankl. He is famous for pretty much laying the foundation for positive psychology. But he was a psychologist during World War II in the Nazi camp. And he coined a phrase that is very popular. And he said, you know, between every stimulus and response, there is a space. So that jumps back to the pause that you mentioned. And in that space, if it's 1 millisecond or 10 hours, you have the time and the choice to make a decision. How will I act? You know, and that was, you know, crazy situation to be in the Nazi camps. You know, it's hard for us to imagine how that would have been. But he found a purpose in it to, you know, study others. Why do some people die? Why do some people, you know, just give up? And he always thought that I will find a purpose in this. And that's what he did. He, you know, started his whole positive psychology movement. And this was, you know, when we're recording this 80 years ago or something. So it's foundational. So congrats on not acting on it, just, you know, trying to just be.
But don't you agree that pause, it has to be something, at least for me, it has to be something that I had to develop and evolve?
Yeah.
Because meditation has helped me in life in general with being relaxed, but it has always creeped in the moments where I need that pause. And I didn't have the pause before meditation. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but from what I've read, and maybe the placebo that I've injected on myself, that this is a direct consequence of meditation. Meditation has led me to have a buffer, a little time to just say, am I going to freeze? Am I going to run? Or am I going to fight? No, I'm going to play it cool because you can't control my emotions. I control my emotions.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have been here. You could see by my gestures, I'm a pretty animated, energized guy. So at the time, there was just one type of person. I was just reactive, and in a good way, in a bad way. And I have become more conscious of watching and being an observer of my own emotions and then choosing. But I never even had this reality until I really delved in what meditation is. And it's not just hippie yoga, you know, fad. It's something that's what we need with all the stimuli.
How did you find meditation, Francesco?
I mean,
and what kind of meditation do you do today?
What's the meditation I do today is not the most conventional to many people, because they feel it may have too much. It's a difference in what normal people think, but I love it. It's the Wim Hof method. And the Wim Hof method to me is my meditation. After doing the Wim Hof breathing, there's a point that I adjusted the method to my own style where I really go into my own relaxation. And it's usually at the end of the method. So it would take, it, let's say, a 15 minutes of Wim Hof breathing. I would add another 5 minutes or 10 minutes, which is that pure relaxation, and where I really, really give that love to myself, so that when I'm ready to cook for my fiance, when I'm ready to volunteer at the hospice, when I'm ready to give what I have, I'm fully fulfilled. But the Wim Hof method, to answer your question, has been my daily go-to method because of the benefits I feel from it. But that's just my style. Mm-hmm. And I know many people don't feel that it's relaxing enough, but I feel everyone likes their pasta differently. Some people like it creamy, some people like it liquidy, some people like it. I like my meditation this way, and I really am a believer of do what you got with what you have, and if it works, power to you, brother.
Yeah. So we talked about the Wim Hof method several podcasts, but tell us your angle. I mean, the basic Wim Hof method is 30 big breaths in 3 rounds with a exhale hold in the end, pretty much. So how are you using it, and what times are you doing in general, if you want to share?
Yeah, I would love to share. It's again, it's my own version, and it's people. A lot of people, even in the Wim Hof community, even my instructor who I was trained by, it's not the most suggested, but I like it. It's 30 breaths, deep breaths, and then exhale, and then inhale, and then pushing the that energy, that vibration into my stomach, into my chest, into my head. Mm-hmm. And it's my go-to. And I do that 3 times, sometimes 4. It depends on the day. And afterwards, again, I don't go extremely hard. This is this is a meditative combination that I've developed that works for me. And again, this is something I love. But at the end is where I am in that pure relaxation mode. And I start to just appreciate what I have.
That's so. When what times are you doing it?
If I can wake up around 5 or 6 in the morning, I would love to do it at that time. But if I'm already cramming everything else as far as traveling, as I'm a flight attendant, I would do it maybe 2 hours before I go to sleep. And I will always try to squeeze in, even if it's 30 breaths. I believe that doing something towards that goal, so I don't break the chain, as you and I spoke about in Coach.me, I'll always try my best to keep it as, what's the word I'm looking for, as consistent as anything possible, because you and I know once the chain is broken, and if it's broken for 3 months, you start to lose it. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And I always want to be on that path of making sure that I'm feeding my soul with that meditation.
Mm-hmm. How did you find the Wim Hof method? What's your journey there?
I looked up breathing online, and many different options came up. And I watched the Vice documentary on Wim Hof. I was inspired. I contacted a friend of mine who said he would love to learn more. And I said, well, I'm a type of person, like, you need to learn from someone, instead of, you can learn on your own. I've learned languages on my own, but I always had a human being there to help me, guide me. And breathing, you obviously know that you're going to do on your own. So I said, hey, look, there's a winter expedition in Poland, and it's now June. He goes, I don't know. I love to do it. And I said, well, there's no better time than now. So we booked. And 2 months later, it was completely sold out. We went to Poland, where I was living, actually, not too far from my house. And we were with Wim Hof for 6 days, 7 days, every single day, being trained by him, by the instructors, and truly understanding what the overall goal was, which was to know your body, know that inner fire, and know that you're capable of not just climbing a mountain in shorts during a blizzard, but actually doing what you want in this life, and that you are worth it. You are everything. It's just you have to figure it out internally. So it was started off on something on YouTube, and it led to meeting Wim Hof himself, and now has been a part of my daily regimen, which I hope. And I hope I can share, but I also want to let people know that it's going to be a part of my life forever. This form or another of breathing, because it is, it's changed not only that pause of reacting, but it also has helped me become the most productive me in the last few years.
This is so interesting because breathing has also, since I found Wim Hof, I don't know, 4 years ago or something, it's been an increasing, you know, influence on my life. And sometimes I forget how important it is, but, you know, it's also a tool you can use, circling back to the pause. You know, if you're mad, why not, you know, inhale for 5 seconds, exhale for 5 seconds, that easy. You know, just by doing that now live, I can just, I got some tingling sensation, and now I'm back here with Francesco. So and that's also the reason why me and Anton, Wim Hof trainer, created something that we called focused breathing, which is was called Konsten att andas before. And he dropped actually the Wim Hof method because it's a bit extreme depending on your personality and your internal chemistry. So that's like a flag for the listeners to be a bit cautious with the Wim Hof method. It's extremely powerful, more powerful than some people understand. So be careful.
Absolutely. I agree. And what you just said about breathing, even when you took that long breath in and breath out. I know it sounds funny, digitally throughout these wires from Sweden to Germany, I felt it. Oh. We have ripple effects in every single way. And I do agree about the Wim Hof method for anyone listening. It's something that you have to see for yourself, but know your own limits. And I agree, if you cross the line with anything, if you're an extremist with anything, you obviously know what happens.
I mean, we talked some mental strategies, and I just want to highlight the 8 mental strategies that we use. That is like tying into what we talked about. It's number 1, presence, which, you know, is how we get here and now. And that's, you know, meditation, the pause we've been talking about. Number 2 is patience. And I mean, that also ties in. 3 is kindness, which you showed yesterday to the person, not hitting him, you know, in the face, Jersey style. And number 4 is beginner's mind, which is, I think, what started you, you know, when your therapist asked you why, or do you love yourself? And then you had the why question. And then acceptance is number 5, which is, you know, how can I accept my thoughts that we talked about in the beginning here now, and not act on it and accept that it's going to be dark thoughts, it's going to be dark times. And then number 6 is balance, which is, of course, you know, how can you do all the things that you want to do, be productive, be, you know, you have a YouTube channel, you have an app, you want to volunteer, you want to travel, you want to do all this magical stuff, but you also, you know, want to relax and do nothing sometimes. And then it's joy, of course, to be happy. And number 8 is letting go. So I'm not sure really why I get to think about these 8 mental strategies, but we mentioned them before on the podcast, and I think it's whatever you use, you know, try to make it systematic. And that ties into what you mentioned before, don't break the chain. So tell us a bit, what is break the chain?
Break the chain comes from Jerry Seinfeld, a comedian American who was once asked, Jerry, why are you the best comedian? What makes you the best comedian? And he goes, well, I don't break the chain. Meaning there's 365 days in a year and he writes a joke every day or he practices every day. And on each day of your calendar, there's an X. That is the difference between someone who's successful and who's not. You know, if you work out, for example, 3 hours on Sunday, but you don't do anything for 6 days, how much stronger are you going to be? And if you put an X 6 days a week, but you work only to work out 20 minutes a day, which is what I do now, you're not breaking the chain. It's going to be an X on every single day. And Jerry Seinfeld put the word consistency in an image for our friends to say, calendar X every day. And whether it's 20 minutes or 10 minutes, I mean, I don't do the Wim Hof method for 30 minutes a day. Sometimes I'll do it for 5 minutes. Sometimes I work out for 20 minutes. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as you invested pure thought, not just, you know, texting while trying to do a jog. I'm talking about pure thought. You have now made an X chain across your calendar. And I believe that if it wasn't for having a human being like you, when it comes to working out, as much as I'm on the path of self-love, it was a hard habit for me to build throughout the years before, because I saw the chain, I wanted the chain, but having an accountability partner and someone who's going to help me just go toward that day of crossing that X has been extremely valuable. Awesome. And I'm so grateful that I could actually do this with you on Skype, but I'm hoping one day I can actually hug you in person, because you have been patient with my quick questions that were not quick.
The quick questions, dude, I love them. Hey, dude, quick question. What's the meaning of life? No, I'm just kidding.
Good question. Why does the Bible have all of these chapters, and what is all that it means? Like, what? Or the idea of doing things alone and marking those X's for your don't break the chain calendar, it's beautiful. But I have to be honest again, it comes back to that human connection, and having someone there for me has been extremely valuable. And again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I'm hoping one day I can show you my gratitude in person, because I would have broke the chain. As much as I'm on this high of appreciating and feeding my soul and being on the most positive path, it's not easy. It's not easy to work out every day. I know it. I'm living proof that it's hard. But after 90 days, yesterday marks 90 days. Today's 91 days with you.
Yeah.
I lost 14 kilos, which equals around 29 to 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome, man.
And I've learned the idea of eating what I need, and not because I'm crazy about, you know, this delicious meal. I need to eat the whole thing. I learned portion control and listening to my body, because I have to take care of this temple. And I know I have to report to you tomorrow. And that makes me not only do it for myself, but also do it for our teamwork. And it's proven results, because I feel the healthiest I have ever felt in my life. And I've been vegan for many years, but I was one chubby vegan. And there's a word that a lot of vegans or vegetarians say, like, yeah, I'm vegan, I'm vegetarian. But the truth is, majority are carbitarians. And a carbitarian that carbitarian lifestyle led me to being lethargic, like I used to be when I used to eat meat. And it led me to be overweight. I mean, I have to be honest, having someone there has been proof that you can make that hard habit a reality. But of course, it still always comes down to you. It's not like a 50-50 thing.
Yeah.
It had to come down more on me. But having you there, I mean, there's no words that could show my gratitude. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the kind words. Glad I can help. So for the listeners that are wondering how we're doing this, we're using the coach.me app. Me and Francesco, for when we're recording this, we've been doing it for 90 days. So how did you find the app, and how come you chose me?
Well,
all the coaches there.
I mean, why I chose you? You're a very impressive man. Of course, I remember. It's like, you know, it's going through our catalog. Like who's the one for me? The the main reason I chose you is that you showed through your profile of what you've written that gratitude, which is one of your options to take the class. To take one of your coaching accountability partnership was writing in a journal. Mm-hmm. You also spoke about breathing, and you have all of these attributes that come down to the internal reason to being fit. And some other people were really impressive too. The other coaches regarding fitness were impressive. I mean, they were strong. They had plans. They would give you a sheet. They would give you an Excel. They were really, really on point of dieting. But what I liked about you on coach.me was that you cared about the internal aspect. Mm. And that is what lined up with me. That's what matched up with my mentality. Do I want to be fit because I want to have the coolest six pack when I go to the lake today? Mm. Or do I want to be fit because I want to be the healthiest version of me? And I want my niece and my nephew to know that health as well. Mm. Yeah, this is the guy for me.
Awesome.
And seriously, it really came down to, wow, he has a 21-day no complaining
challenge. Yes, I love that challenge. Have you tried it?
I'm looking forward to doing in the near future with you, if it's okay. Yes, if we can switch from mobility to no complaining, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, of course.
You're not getting rid of me, buddy. I'm letting you know right now.
No,
you're not getting rid of me. Quick questions are coming your way.
Thanks. Thanks for the kind words. Really appreciate it. I'm moved. I'm touched. Thanks. It's, you know, what I try to, the person I really want to be is, you know, a helper to be my best version of myself. So I'm glad that I'm helping you with all these domains, because when we started, it was focus on mobility, you know, movement. But it's expanded during these 90 days. That's roughly 3 months, to so much more. We talked about, you know, everything from spirituality to journaling to training to everything. And of course, mobility. And I'm really happy that it's working for you, because it's such a great tool just to text in the morning or whenever you have time, and I text back when I have time, and you know, the quick questions, it makes me think as well. So thanks.
No, thank you, Peter. And I hope you don't mind, but I have a question for you. And I know this is your podcast, but I have to be honest. It's like it's obvious that you like to help, and then you've been helping me for 90 days with quick questions. And for the listeners, I ask about 5 questions a day, and I always title it quick questions.
Yeah.
And their list is long. Yeah. I want to know why you're so passionate about helping. What is the root of that beautiful, your gift of serving others is profound, and it has a ripple effect. Where do you think this comes from? Where do you think it really derives from?
That's a great question. I think it's, you know, I've gotten so much help from other people and books during, I mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast. When I was 25, I was unemployed, had to move back to my parents and so on. Long story, but I realized then that I have to do something different. Something has to happen. So I started reading these books, Robin Sharma, Tony Robbins, the classics. And I realized, you know, first of all, that I know some stuff, but I can ask other people. And the good ones, they want to help. The best ones really want to help, even if, you know, some people are super busy. So they perhaps have to decline due to that. But so I asked a couple of people and asked my friends, you know, what do you think I'm good at? What do you think I can do? And so on and so on. And the good ones, you know, replied back, my close friends. And then I asked a person if he could be my mentor further down the line. And he said, sure, of course, come up to Stockholm, where he lived at the time. And he helped me so much, you know, just asking the questions. And he asked me, of course, questions back, because that's what a coach does. You know, you already have the answers inside yourself. So that's, you know, 2-minute answer to very long journey that keeps me going right now, you know. So wow. People help me and I want to help back. And the more people I help, you know, I help myself as well, because when I help you, I feel good about myself and I get to think as well, you know, like, do I love myself really? You know, have I asked the question, I mean, a couple of times in my life, but, you know, have I really meditated on it? Do I really know the answer? You know, so I love learning. And if I teach, you know, I keep classes every day, that was a lie, every week. And I do this podcast when I get to ask the questions. So I think in my heart of hearts, I'm curious. And if I learn, I can also help others. So it's a win-win. You know, if I get better, everyone around me hopefully gets better. My clients get better, everyone gets better. And hopefully in the end, you know, the world gets better.
Wow. Give me a digital high five. Wow, that was profound.
Does it make sense?
You hit so many beautiful notes with me, because you obviously know that for many people who are listening, it's hard to ask people for help, especially if your pride or your ego get in the way. And I want everyone to know that out of the 100 people that I asked for help, yes, it wasn't 100% satisfaction, because like you said, people are busy, or some people don't want you to be a part of their competition.
Yep.
But majority of people are happy to help. And whether you pay for it on coach.me, so then you can have it every day, which is what I needed. I didn't want just a blog to answer my questions on working out and finding a better method of losing weight. You were my mentor in this, and you said yes, and you hopped on to those questions. And when it comes to public speaking, I've asked many people, Peter, to help me. And you know what they said? Give me a time and date and we'll talk. And people are happy to help. So if you're listening to this and you want something and you don't know where to start, blogs and podcasts and books are great. But if you want a human being to be there for you, just go ahead and ask, can I get 15 minutes of your time?
Yep.
Which book would you recommend?
Exactly.
Throw me a bone and people will give you everything.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to ask, because if you ask someone that, you know, on a psychological level implies that you don't know. And if you don't know, your ego is hurt, because your ego wants you to know everything and be, you know, the alpha male. No, everyone should ask you stuff. But I think this is, you know, a profound thing which connects to one of the principles or the strategies, beginner's mind. You know, it's very naive for anyone listening, for any person alive, to think they know everything. Because, you know, every atom within the universe are connected somehow. Now I'm getting a bit deep, but and we're doing these discoveries daily, almost, at this day and age, you know, new things being discovered, new technologies, and no one knows everything. So to ask is hard, but if you ask, you at least have the chance to get, you know, a reply, a key to lock a new door, you know, a new key. Perhaps a new way of breathing, a new way of thinking. And then, you know, you open up a whole new world. For me, when I discovered Wim Hof, you know, it was like, I can already breathe. I'm going to try it. How hard can it be? 30 breaths, 3 rounds. Nothing's going to happen. And then I was like, whoa, I might look into this breathing stuff.
That's true.
And now I'm giving courses in it, and it's so profound. As long as you ask and are open to learn.
Definitely. Mm. I'm grateful that we're on the same page with that. And if anyone who isn't on that page, I can even respect their opinion. Anything I say, I really literally respect anyone's opinion, because we all have our own journey. We all go through our own things. And people say, well, I did it all on my own. And I'm like, I'm grateful that you did it on your own. But I don't believe that, for me as a communal, very social human being, that it's necessary to do it on your own. Of course, there's going to be times you have to pick up the slack and do something that you didn't want to do. But at the end of the day, we are all connected. We're all here in the same boat, that is a round boat, actually, floating in the universe. So might as well enjoy this together.
I can give you an example of when I think it was 6 years ago or something. I wanted to learn to swim. I set a goal. But I was so stubborn that I went to the pool, tried myself. You know, it was super hard, really hard. And then, you know, I tried to read all the books. And then after a year of struggling, I finally hired a coach. And then, you know, I had almost exponential development. So I'm not sure if it was the money or the ego or whatever, but if I could have saved the whole year of struggling. So these days I try to, you know, go courses, ask people, try to hire coaches myself. It's so profound. So you will save time, and you, if you're lucky, you get to have like a great conversation with your client or your coach or mentor. And then you, if you're even more lucky, you befriend them. So, I mean, I've befriended many people that I interviewed on the podcast, you know, so it's, and I, the only thing I do is to ask them questions, you know, who are you? What do you do? What do you want to tell the listeners? It's perhaps simple. It's not really easy, because you have to, you know, prepare and, you know, set dates and so on. So, Francesco, tell us more what you have on the horizons and your URLs and where people can, because you coach as well, you help people with languages and a lot of stuff.
I do help people with languages. I'm very involved in the language community, mostly on polyglot conferences or polyglot gatherings, anywhere regarding people who want to speak more than one language. And I spread the message of spread empathy through languages. And I'm very honored to be a part of that community. But at this moment, this is my last month of studying languages where we can speak and communicate, and I'm going to fully focus, and I'm crazy excited about this, because I really feel it more than anything else I've ever in my life pursued. And it's sharing the knowledge and the emotional roller coasters of rides of self-love. And starting November, with all that I've already prepared, I'm going to write my first book on self-love. And the platform that I'm going to be easy to find is YouTube or Facebook right now.
What's the URLs?
I can, it's, you can find me on my name on Facebook or you on YouTube. It's Francesco, my name, Francesco Samarelli. Samarelli, Samarelli.
Perfect.
This is something, like I said, that it lights me up, because the platform that I have is called KISS, Keep It Simple. And if we can keep it simple and love ourselves, that foundation alone can make anyone feel worthy and happy to do what they want, no matter what curveball is being thrown at them. Mm. I realize when I see people struggling, yes, of course, financial struggles are not going to help. Just let me love myself and my financial situation will be fixed. Or let me love myself and the person I love who passed or left me is just going to come. No, I understand that. I'm a realist at the same time. I'm not just an idealist. I realize that. But when you love yourself so much, you can truly, really get internal and figure out how to handle these situations and how to be the best version of you. It, it, it makes me, I don't know, why don't we just shoot up to the sky right now and just share this? Because if everyone had enough self-love for themselves, they would be doing more for the world. That's the ultimate goal. It's not about just loving yourself and taking bubble baths and massaging yourself every day and just sitting down and saying, I love myself, I'm just so cool. No, it has nothing to do with the ego being egotistical. It's actually the opposite. It's when you're fully fulfilled, you're able to give and help. That ripple effect is so strong that it can go across oceans. And when you find that self-love, you're able to recognize it and give it to others. Because let's be honest, when people, there's a quote I love, it's two words repeated. Hurt people hurt people. People in pain inflict pain on others. It's just an obvious thing. I'm feeling pain, so I'm going to do it to you. It's 1 + 1 = 2. It's not hard math. But when someone is feeling pain and they're able to reevaluate and try to figure out how to handle this through self-love, they don't inflict it on other people. And that's my major message. And the platforms you can find me on is Facebook right now and YouTube and the website, and the book will be coming out early 2019, probably January. No later than the end of January. Awesome. No later. February.
I'll keep you accountable. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, there's there's no doubt about it. I if there's awesome. A will, there's a way. And your gift to the world, Peter, has been to help others. And if we can do that together in your form and my form of giving the gift of the world to the world regarding enjoying and helping and understanding and having empathy for what people go through, but yet still try to figure out that will to find purpose, like Viktor Frankl said in The Man in Search for Meaning, and we can do it. We just have to try to get a control of our emotions instead of letting the emotions control us.
Yeah,
it's so valuable. And I want to thank you for allowing this whole platform to be alive so I can move in my seat and go crazy and sharing what I love, which is finding that love for yourself, which you can actually spread on to your family and your friends and your community.
So do you have any other practical tips to start the journey to, you know, be more self-loving?
Don't be so hard on yourself. It's tough. I mean, you're not going to be perfect. No one is. I've never met a perfect person, and nor will I want to ever meet someone who says they're perfect. If you don't do something perfect, just say it. Don't be so hard on yourself. I might fail my French test coming up.
Yep.
I might write a book that everyone criticizes in 2 months. I might mess up, and I'm okay with that because I'm enough, and I can't beat myself up. I'm only here for one dance. I'm hoping it's going to be over 100 years, like some of my friends that I met. I hope it's a 100-year dance. I only got one dance, and I'm going to try to dance with passion, with emotions that I control. So then my niece and my nephew, and I repeat them because they're my everything, they can also enjoy their dance because I'm not here forever. So I'm hoping that it carries through.
Great advice. Consider your life a dance, and your passion, really, you know, I can feel it through the video screen here, through the computer screen. It's great. I can also feel it, you know, daily when we talk and chat. So I have a last question for you that I try to, you know, add in the end of every podcast. And it's, you know, it's called K-Wink, and it's knowing what I now know. And knowing what you now know, Francesco, what would you have done differently, I don't know, last 10, 15 years?
I think I'm going to need a pause. I think I'm going to need a pause for that. Pause, man.
And it doesn't have to be perfect.
No, I mean,
if you had a time machine.
I mean, it would be... I mean, live in the moment, because, and appreciate it, because you never know when that's going to be gone. So in the quote, people say is, you never know what you got until it's gone. Yeah. And there's many moments in my life where I'm holding my fiance or kissing my mom goodbye when I fly away, or, you know my personal issues with my father and how they're not issues any longer. They're part of our past, and now it's a beautiful connection. I look at him and I kiss him on his forehead, and congrats. I tell myself, thank you.
Good work.
You helped me through that. Awesome. You're not just a fitness coach, you're a mental coach. And when I have these moments that are not just the ugly ones, I'm not just the beautiful ones, I'm talking about even, let's say, an argument or discussion, let's call it, I ask myself, I'm so grateful that I'm still here with them right now, or they're here with me.
Yeah.
So it's, if I knew this when I was, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, when I was going through issues, I wish I knew that then, so then I can be stronger now. And I found out, and I'm able to share that with you today, but live every moment with that feeling of true gratitude, not just I'm grateful to be here. Oh, this is nice to be here. No, I'm elated to be here with you. Yeah. I'm on a high right now because I'm speaking to Peter.
Thanks. We talked so much about gratitude in this episode, and if you, the listener or the watcher, have a hard time with gratitude, just start, you know, with something. You don't have to have Francesco's passion directly if you start this habit today. Just start small, and it will build. Trust the process. And I am very grateful that you took the time out of your day, Francesco, today to talk to us and share your journey. It's been an awesome 90 days for me. I learned a lot as well. Before we close the podcast, do you have anything that you want to highlight or share?
I already shared that you are good enough, but if I kind of want to reiterate what you just said. Just start. Start. It's going to be a disaster, yes, but just start writing your gratitude list. Just start running, and just start. I mean, and write it on your wall. Just start, because once you start, I hate washing dishes, and I don't even use that word hate often. But once I start washing the dishes, it's a ready momentum. So, you know, I think Nike really blew it by saying just do it. I think they should have just started.
Yeah.
Because once you start, you start doing. And you're not just talking anymore. You're like, oh, I'm going to do that. No, I started it. I'm already doing it. I'm in the moment. And then you start to find this process isn't that bad. Now I have clean dishes.
Perfect. That's a perfect way to
End it with the start.
Yeah. I'm happy. Are you happy?
Oh, man. I'm ready to fly right now to Sweden to high five you.
Just drop by. We'll do a digital high five. Boom.
Boom.
Francesco Samarelli, thank you for being on the Flawed Podcast.
It's been my honor, and I love your podcast. I listen to all of them except for the Swedish ones.
Yeah, you have to learn Swedish now.
Yeah, now I have to, because it is one incredible, inspirational, intensely insightful. You have a lot of information, and
I re-listen
to so many of your podcasts because there's so many tips from our mentors that we either meet in person or not. And I got to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a guest. I'm extremely honored. This is a dream, to be honest with you, to be on your podcast, someone who look up to very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening to the Flawed Podcast. Big thanks to Francesco for being so honest and kind. Thank you for the kind words. It's an honor to have been coaching you for, when I record this, 120 days, and it was definitely a success. Thank you very much. You can see the full unedited video in the show notes.
or this episode, just go to flawed.se/podcast and click on this episode. Theme music by Erik Rådbo. Thank you, Erik. You are awesome. Please give us 5-star review if you think we earned it on iTunes, and share the podcast with everyone that you think can learn something from this episode with self-love. What we usually do in the outro here is that I share that I'm a coach on coach.me, which I guess you understand by now, but if you don't, you can always click the link, and it's always 1 week for free. But if you're committed, like most people actually is not, like Francesco. So I also want to inform that I coach mobility classes in Gothenburg, Sweden, and also of course online, but in real life I have weekly classes at Totus Fitness in Gothenburg. Big shout out to everyone that is staying in touch and reaching out, telling me that the podcast is great, and we have so many great things. When we're releasing this podcast, we just had a workshop in breathing, focused breathing. Me and Anton are giving workshops in breathing for life, for performance, for recovery, for stress management. The breath is one of the best tools. Ask anyone who is into mental strategies. Breathing is always readily available. Also want to encourage you to be more grateful, and also ask the question that we discussed here, me and Francesco, if you really love yourself. It's a tough one, and I know this episode was more on the spiritual side and we have a bromance going on, but this is what Flawed is: focused lifestyle and winning disciplines. It's a very broad, and if you can put one key, one piece of your life puzzle to be more disciplined, have a greater lifestyle, or to have more focus, then I'm really happy. Please let me know. Feedback, guest suggestions on pl@flawed.se. That was it for this episode, and until next time, remember, luck, fortunes, the brain.